Darshan Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 27th sloka onwards. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time and association to us this morning. Before handing over the call to you, Prabhuji, I would like to ask Sri Mataji to give a brief introduction to you. Hare Krishna, Mataji, please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Gauranga Darshan Das is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and is an Associate Dean of Academic Affairs of the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapith Research Center at Govardhan Eco Village. He is a member of the ISKCON Board of Examinations, and he holds a master's degree from the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore. He teaches Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Vaishnava character courses at Govardhan Eco Village and at several places in India. He is known for his lucid spiritual talks with captivating visuals and also presentations that give a bird's eye view of an entire book or a section. So far, he has delivered over 4,500 hours of spiritual discourses, and he has guided several students on their Shastric study. He also oversees deity worship at Govardhan Eco Village. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving us such a brief introduction. Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please take over the call.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So today we will be discussing from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth chapter. So it is the last prayer of last instruction of Rishabhadev, 5.5.27. Manavacho durukkarane hitasya sakshatkritam me paribhrama paribarhanam hi vinapumanye namaha vimohat. You can scroll up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The true activity of the sense organs, mind, sight, words, and all the knowledge gathering and working senses is to engage fully in my service. Unless his senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraja's stringent rope. Purport. As stated in Narada Pancharatra, Sarvapadhivi Nirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. This is the conclusion of Bhakti. All the time, Lord Rishabhadev has been stressing devotional service, and now he is concluding by saying that all the senses should be engaged in the Lord's service. There are five senses by which we gather knowledge and five senses with which we work. These 10 senses and the mind should be fully engaged in Lord's service. Without engaging them in this way, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. So, in this, next also we need to read. Yeah, this is prose. You can scroll down. We'll read the translation. Sukadev Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadev, instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis, who are no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished, also learn by these instructions. Lord Rishabhadev instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest Bharata was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest sons on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Rishabhadev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. Purport. Actually, the instructions given to Lord Rishabhadev's sons were not exactly meant for his sons because they were already educated and highly advanced in knowledge. Rather, these instructions were meant for sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees. Sannyasis must abide by Lord Rishabhadev's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Rishabhadev retired from family life and lived like a naked madman, even while still with his family. So, in these two shlokas, we see the concluding shloka of Rishabhadev's teachings and also Sukadev Goswami concluding the whole discussion. So essentially, in the last shloka of Rishabhadev's teachings, Rishabhadev said that one has to engage one's mind and senses in Krishna service. And in the next shloka that we discussed, Sukadev Goswami is saying that through his sons, Rishabhadev is trying to instruct all the devotees, especially renounced people. So because Rishabhadev's sons were already enlightened, they were directly the sons of the Supreme Lord, they don't need such instructions as such. They're already knowledgeable and they're already on that level of practice. So Rishabhadev wanted to instruct the whole world through his sons. So this is the gist of these two shlokas that we just read. Now, let us meditate on the shloka and the purport written by Prabhupada. In the 27th shloka, Rishabhadev says that one has to engage one's senses and mind in Krishna's devotional service. Now, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Rishabhadev has been stressing the process of bhakti throughout his teachings, directly or indirectly, but while concluding, he is again stressing bhakti yoga. So, Srimad Bhagavatam essentially tries to highlight the process of bhakti yoga amongst various other processes. Now, Bhagavatam may describe some Ashtanga yoga, Jnana yoga, then Karma yoga here and there, but and especially in the teachings of Lord Kapila, teachings of Lord Krishna to Uddhava. So, we find descriptions in various ways. But ultimately, the conclusion of all these sets of teachings found in various cantos of Bhagavatam is Bhakti Yoga. So in Bhagavatam, every shloka, every syllable, every episode is ultimately leading us to the conclusion of Bhakti Yoga. Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, we see Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastam Amatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parair Ishvaraha Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyate Atra Kritibhir Susrushubhis Takshanat. So, right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the materially motivated practice of Dharma is kicked out. Dharma Projita Kaitava. Kaitava Dharma means materially motivated practice. People may perform some dharma, some religious duties and Vedic rituals to get artha, to get some money. And they utilize that artha in kama, sense enjoyment. And when they're frustrated in karma, they think of moksha, which is impersonal liberation. So this kind of materially motivated practice of dharma or following of four purusharthas is rejected right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam emphasizes on the pure process of bhakti yoga. We see in the second chapter, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktira Dhakshuji Ahituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasiduti. So one has to practice devotional service without any motivations and without any interruptions. And that is how the soul is completely satisfied in one's service to Krishna. So in the beginning of Bhagavatam, bhakti is established. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti is emphasized through various episodes, philosophical episodes. And at the end of Bhagavatam also, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam यद्वैष्णवानां प्रियं यस्मिन् पारमहंसमेकममलं ज्ञानपदं गीयते तत्र ज्ञानविरागभक्तिसहितं नैष्कर्म्यमाविष्कृतम् So, Bhagavatam inaugurates the great process of Bhakti Yoga. Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmya Mavishkritam. Bhagavatam is launching, inaugurating or introducing the path of Bhakti Yoga. And Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam. Jnana means knowledge, spiritual knowledge is a product of Bhakti. Viraga means renunciation is a product of bhakti, detachment. And naishkarmya. Naishkarmya means performing an activity without incurring a material reaction from that activity. Okay. When you don't have an expectation in that activity, when you dutifully perform that activity, there may not be reaction. But it's not, Bhagavatam is not just speaking about working with the detachment. Bhagavatam is talking about working తత్ర జ్ఞాన విరాగ భక్తి సహితం నైష్కర్మ్యం ఆవిష్కృతం సో భాగవతం ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ దాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ యాక్టివిటీ నాన్ రియాక్షనరీ యాక్టివిటీ దట్ ఈస్ డన్ విత్ ఏ ఇంటెంట్ టు ప్లీజ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ దట్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఇన్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ నాలెడ్జ్ సో దట్స్ ద మీనింగ్ of this line, third line of this shloka, tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. So, tat srinvan, hear bhagavatam, supathan, study bhagavatam, vicharana paro, contemplate on bhagavatam, bhaktya, with devotion, vimuchyennaraha, and can be completely relieved from this material tribulations. So, now, in this current section, Rishabhadev gave several teachings to his sons, and through his sons, he is enlightening the whole world. And in conclusion, Rishabhadev says, my dear sons, please try to engage all your senses and mind in Krishna's service. Now, there are 10 senses, 5 knowledge senses and 5 working senses. So all these 10 senses, including the mind, must be engaged in Krishna's seva. That's the essence of this instruction, last instruction, final instruction. So, now, in the teachings of Lord Kapila, also Kapila emphasizes on bhakti, various types of bhakti, and then nirguni bhakti, bhakti in mode of goodness, bhakti in mode of passion, bhakti in mode of ignorance, and bhakti beyond modes. Means bhakti cannot be in all these modes, but the performer of bhakti could have certain mentalities, and that performer's bhakti could be in mode of ignorance. For example, if somebody performs bhakti with attitudes of violence, envy, pride, or revengeful attitude, or without any compassion on common people. So that kind of bhakti is bhakti in mode of ignorance. And some people may perform bhakti with lot of material desires, with great ambitions to have sense enjoyment, high grade sense enjoyment. So such people are in mode of passion. And some people may want to practice bhakti just to relieve themselves from all karma. So, fruitive baggage. So, that is called bhakti in mode of goodness. But nirguni bhakti, bhakti which is beyond the three modes, is characterized by one's absorption of mind in Krishna. Madguna shruti matrena mayi sarva guhashaye manogati ravichinna yatha gangam hasambudho. Madguna shruti matrena, just by hearing the qualities of Krishna, the minds of pure devotees would just run towards Krishna. Mayi sarva guhashaye, my entire existence is meant for flow towards Krishna. A devotee feels like that. Manogatir avichinna yatha gangambhasombudo. Just like Ganges water flows towards the ocean despite encountering so many obstacles. Similarly, a devotee's mind, manogati, also goes towards Krishna, although there may be hundreds of obstacles. Now, there is this shloka. Kunti Maharani says that Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvahata daddha gange vogham udanvati. Oh my dear Lord, let my mind just constantly flow towards you, just like ocean of just like Ganges river flows towards the ocean. So in this way Kunti Maharani also aspires for such a position where her mind is totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Now, there is another nice shloka. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan nindantu bandhava gurujana grihanantu munchantuva durvagam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostuva tadruk prema dharanu raga madhuna mattayamanantu mem. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi. Let my chitta, let my mind not deviate from Krishna's thought even for one kshana, one moment. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan. So Sri Krishna padambujan means lotus feet of Krishna. So let Krishna's lotus feet be the object of my mind's meditation constantly, and let me not deviate from such a meditation even for one moment. That's the aspiration of a devotee. Nindantu priya bandhava gurujana grihanantu munchantuva. When in this world, when somebody tries to perform bhakti unto Krishna, one could receive one's own family members. Nindantu priya bandhava. Ninda means criticism. Who will criticize? Priya bandhava. One's own relatives and friends and family members could also criticize. Nindantu priya bandhava gurujana. Superiors. Even elders also may criticize. Let them accept me or reject me. No problem. I'll not deviate from my Krishna consciousness. That's what devotee thinks. Now we can see this example in Prahlad Maharaj's case. Prahlad's family members, Prahlad's own father did not accept Prahlad's devotion to Lord Hari. Prahlad was chanting Hari, Hari, Govinda, Govinda. But Hiranyakashipu says, no, you cannot chant Hari. So give up your bhakti unto Hari. But Prahlad says, no. Nindantu priya bandhava guru janaha grihanantu munchantuva. Whether you accept or not, I will continue chant Hare Krishna. Prahlad's respectful and polite reply to the threatening statements of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu not only threatened and not only gave a warning to Prahlad, he even tried to kill Prahlad in several ways. But Prahlad did not deviate even for a moment from Krishna consciousness. Vindantu priya bandhava gurujana grihanantu munchantuva durvadam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostuva. Durvadam means gossip. So people may start backbiting. People may start gossiping about devotees. That person has become a devotee. He started wearing tilak he has gone crazy. He is chanting and dancing on the roads. He is distributing books and begging people to purchase books like a beggar. So, durvadam parighoshayantu parighosha. They may announce that this guy has gone crazy. Like that, people may think in various ways. Oh, maybe we have to take this person to a psychiatrist. So Hiranyakashipu also told Shanda and Amarka, you are spoiling the brain of my child, this Prahlad. So just make sure that nobody comes to the college, to your Gurukul school, and spoils the mind of the children there. So if you are not teaching this in your syllabus, so Shanda and Amarka said that, my dear Hiranyakashipu, why are you blaming us? We never taught all this Hari Bhakti to your child, Prahlad. That devotion is natural to me. Oh, if we have not taught, probably some Vaishnavas must be coming in disguise and then secretly teaching some bhakti to Prahlad and other children. Protect these children. Right? So this Hiranyakashipu gave a warning and a caution to this Shanda and Amarka. So Shanda and Amarka took Prahlad back to their school. And Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostuva. So people may even criticize that this person who has become a devotee is defaming our dynasty. Vamshe kalanka means bringing a bad reputation to one's own family and dynasty and caste. So now this Shanda and Amarka told, you are born as a demon. and you are supposed to have some demoniac qualities and authoritative role, and then you are not exhibiting any demoniac qualities, right? And you are the son of great demon. So other demons also started discussing about Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, he is such a demon. He has absolutely qualities of father, right? So, and this Shanda and Amarka even criticized Prahlad, saying that you are destroying our dynasty, demons' dynasty. So they compared Vishnu with an axe, and they compared Prahlad to the handle of an axe. And with this axe, held by this handle, Prahlad is just trying to chop off the sandalwood forest of the dynasty of demons. In this way, with so many analogies, comparisons, Shanda and Amarka criticized about Prahlad Maharaj. So, Durvatam Parighoshayantu Manuja Vamshe Kalankostuva Tadrik Premadharanu Raga Madhuna Tayamanam Tume. Still, because a devotee experiences, relishes the prema and anuraga, comes from his own practice of bhakti unto Krishna, he just doesn't pay any attention to all this gossip and criticism and indifference shown by society or family members or elders or teachers, anything like this. So that's how a devotee absorbs one's mind in Krishna consciousness. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambuja. Absorbing one's mind in Krishna. And the greatest example of absorbing one's mind in Krishna can be seen in the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis are constantly absorbed in the thought of Krishna. They may be doing some simple household activities, but whatever activity they may be doing, whether it is churning butter or doing whatever it may be, they are always thinking about Krishna. The shloka is, Yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa prengkankhanarbharudito kshanamarjanado gayanti chainamanurakta dhiyo shrukantyo dhanyavrajastriya urukramachitta yanaha Yadohane while milking cows, vahanane while threshing grains, mathana while churning buttermilk, upalepa while decorating their houses and by putting some layer of cow dung and clay on their walls and then putting some designs there. Mathana upalepa prinkankana while swinging on swings, or bharudita while taking care of their crying babies, marjanado, ukshana marjanado while sprinkling water mixed with cow dung on their floors, marjanado, and they are also sweeping the floors of Vrindavan. Whatever activity they may be doing, simple household activities, they are absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyoshru kanthya. Gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyoshru. With their voices faltering, with their minds steeped and immersed in devotion towards Krishna, they are just singing the glories of Krishna, remembering Krishna. Gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyoshru kanthya. Dhanyavrajastriya urukramachitta yanaha. Dhanya, who could be more fortunate than the gopis of Vrindavan? Dhanya, their lives are perfect. They are the greatest fortunate people in the whole universe. So we see the best examples of Krishna consciousness, people who have observed their minds in Krishna. Now, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the greatest form of Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga is to absorb mind in Krishna's thoughts, right? To be wrapped in the thought of Krishna is the duty or is the nature of a devotee, characteristic of a devotee. So smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jatuchit. So always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is the essence of all scriptural statements, and all other statements in the scriptures are subservience of this statement. Never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Right. And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayyeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya manmana bhava madhyakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Right. So Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that you always think of me. Mayyeva mana adhatsva, always absorb your mind in my thoughts. Manmana, always think of me. So manmana means absorbing mind in Krishna. Ramanujacharya gives a very nice explanation about this manmana word. What does this manmana mean? Manmana means mai apara karunya, saushilya, saundarya, madhurya, gambhirya, vatsalya, audharya, jaladhau, nivishtamana bhava. So, absorbing mind in Krishna or thinking of Krishna means immersing our mind in seven oceans of Krishna. So Krishna is compared to seven oceans. So the series of oceans described by Ramanujacharya are that mai apara karunya. Karunya means Krishna is an ocean of compassion. And we have to think of Krishna's compassion. How Krishna is so compassionate on Ajamil, Putana, Aghasur. So many demons received Krishna's mercy. Mai apara karunya. Then saushilya. Krishna has such divine character. Saushilya samudra. So Krishna is an ocean of compassion or mercy. And Krishna is also an ocean of good character. He has all great virtues. Saushilya. Mai apara karunya, saushilya, saundarya. Krishna is an ocean of beauty. Seeing Krishna's divine form is the greatest happiness for the eyes. Sarva saundarya sangraham. Krishna is the collection of all beauties. Means there is so much beauty in the material world. There is unlimited beauty in the spiritual world. You bring all the beauties together and the personification of all that beauty is Krishna. And the source of all these beauties is Krishna. So Krishna is so beautiful. So when Krishna is just entering the forest of Vrindavan, decorated in so many ornaments and nice flowers and flower garlands by Mother Yashoda, he looks so beautiful. And the greatest beauty of Krishna can be seen in Vrindavan. So mai apara karunya saushilya saundarya, immersing one's mind in the ocean of compassion and in the ocean of virtues, good virtues, and in the ocean of Krishna's beauty is only these three. There are four more oceans. Mai apara karunya saushilya saundarya madhurya. Krishna is so sweet. His dealings are sweet. Vallabhacharya wrote a long song only about Krishna's sweetness. Adharam madhuram, vadanam madhuram, nayanam madhuram. Everything is madhuram about Krishna. Everything is sweet about Krishna. Right? So immerse the mind in that sweetness of Krishna. And the sweetness is best relished by Srimati Radharani. So, mai apara karunya saushilya saundarya madhurya. Then gambhirya. Gambhirya means gravity. So you may say, oh, Krishna is very simple, beautiful, naughty and all that. But he has gravity also. Ocean is very grave, right? You may see at the shore of the ocean is making a lot of sounds. But once you go inside, you may find the ocean is very deep and grave. So absorb in the grave qualities of Krishna, serious qualities of Krishna. So without gravity, he could not have given such great teachings to Uddhava and Arjuna, Uddhava Gita and Bhagavad Gita. So absorb your mind, immerse your mind in the grave philosophy about Krishna. Gravity, that is the fifth ocean, Gambhirya. Then sixth ocean is Vatsalya. So Vatsalya means affection towards his devotees. Although Krishna is very compassionate towards everybody in general, but towards his devotees, Krishna gives a very special attention. Right? So Krishna shows Bhakta Vatsalya. He shows such fatherly affection towards children, towards his children-like devotees. So Bhakta Vatsalya of Krishna can be seen when he is dealing with Pandavas, with Kunti, with Uttara, with many other devotees. And seventh ocean is Vatsalya, then Audharya. Audharya means benevolence. So Krishna is extremely benevolent. He is very magnanimous. So means for meager amount of bhakti done by some devotee, he can profusely give a great amount of reciprocation. He may take one handful of flat rice from Sudama, but he can give him riches which suit Indra, Brahma, and even more than that. Actually, Krishna felt very, although he is exhibiting his audarya quality while treating Sudama,
But he was feeling embarrassed. So he was thinking that just like Sudama was embarrassed, right? So Krishna asked, Sudama, you are coming to meet me after a long time. Did you get some gift for me? Sudama felt so embarrassed. He was hiding his flat rice. He was ashamed to open it. So Sudama was not opening. Krishna forcefully took that flat rice and started eating. Then Krishna ate that one handful of flat rice because Rukmini stopped him. You cannot eat anymore. Enough, one is sufficient. If you eat more, then all of us have to go and become maid servant of this Brahmana. So by eating one handful of flat rice, you have given all opulences to this Brahmana. If you eat more, then I will have to become his maid servant in his house. So please don't eat. And also your stomach also will get upset. And if you give everything to him, what will be left for me and my co-wives? So don't eat. So Krishna just ate one handful of flat rice of Sudama. And just by that, Sudama became opulent like Indra, Brahma. He became so opulent. Now, just like Sudama was ashamed to reveal this flat rice, he was hiding. Krishna was also ashamed to say that, my dear Sudama, I am going to give you opulence like Indra. He said, in comparison to this handful of flat rice, the opulence of Indra that I am going to bestow upon you is nothing. So I don't have anything more to give you. So Krishna actually gives himself to his devotees. But Krishna does not say, I want to give myself to you. But he said, okay, I'm giving you wealth. But Krishna felt, no, I should not be speaking this in front of him. So let him know this secret when he goes home back, okay, through his wife. So I will not reveal. Because Krishna felt quite embarrassed and ashamed to say that, oh, my dear Sudama, I'm going to give you some opulence of Indra. So, anyways, Krishna is audarya. Krishna is extremely benevolent upon his devotees. So, manmana, thinking of Krishna means immersing our mind in these seven oceans. So, oceans of Krishna's karunya, saushilya, saundarya, madhurya, gambhirya, audarya and vatsalya. Seven oceans of Krishna. So, immerse the mind there. So, in this way, thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna's qualities, nama, rupa, guna, leela, is the essence of bhakti. However, the problem is, in a neophyte stage, it's very difficult to think of Krishna because the mind is totally distracted. So mayeva mana adhatsva. Krishna says, the best form of devotional service is mayeva mana adhatsva, observing your mind in me. That is called smaranatmika bhakti. So if you can't do that, Krishna is compassionate. He's audarya, right? So he gives one step lower. If you cannot do mayeva manadhatsva, you do mai buddhim niveshaya. Engage your buddhi, intelligence in me. Study shastras. Plan for my services. So engaging mind in Krishna's service is on a higher plane. Always thinking about Krishna and emotionally getting attached to Krishna, that's a very high plane. At least engage your intelligence, plan for Krishna's service and study scriptures and understand the tattva. At least do that. And if you can't do that also, it will be very difficult for you to constantly be like that. So then engage your senses in my service. So in this way, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives gradation. Smaranatmika bhakti, mananatmika bhakti. Then comes cheshta rupa, means activities, performing bhakti through one's senses. So, in this current shloka of Rishabhadeva also says, engage your mind in Krishna's service, engage your senses also in Krishna's service. So, in the beginning, it's difficult to focus our mind in Krishna's qualities completely. Always think of Krishna, remembering Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, lila. But if we engage our senses in Krishna's service, eventually, mind also will start thinking about Krishna. Right? So, we can come to the level of smaranatmika, bhakti, or bhava, having developing emotions towards Krishna. Once we begin the seva, begin devotional service with senses. So that's why it is said, bhakti is not an emotion, not just an emotion. Bhakti is an action associated with emotion, right? So in the beginning, one may devotion comes first or service comes first. In the phrase devotional service, devotion comes first and service comes next. But in action, in practicality, if you wait for devotion, we lose service also. So when we get some service opportunity, let's engage ourselves in seva. So then slowly we will develop emotions for Krishna, devotion, love for Krishna, affection for Krishna, bhava for Krishna, right? So bhakti is not just an emotion, it's an action associated with an emotion. So now in the beginning we may do actions, devotional activities, and eventually we'll develop emotions. But even if one is on the level of emotion, right, bhava rupa, if one is already exalted that he has emotions and love for Krishna, naturally he will engage in action, right? Because when somebody loves Krishna, Mother Yashoda loves Krishna so much, but who all day she is engaging in activities to render service to Krishna. So she has both emotions and she is doing action also. But neophyte sadhakas may not have so much emotions for Krishna, love for Krishna. They can begin with some services. They can engage their senses in Krishna's service. They can take darshan of Krishna's deity and do all kinds of physical services. Then eventually they can develop some love and emotions and devotion for Krishna, bhava for Krishna. And the definition of sadhana bhakti is that. Sadhana bhakti is of two types. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and raganuta sadhana bhakti. Anyways, sadhana bhakti itself means that engaging our senses in Krishna's service so that we can develop bhava for Krishna, emotions for Krishna, love for Krishna. So to develop that emotions for Krishna, we need to begin with engaging in some practical services for Krishna. That's the and even in this current purport also Prabhupada quotes Hrishikesha, Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So bhakti means to engage one's senses in the service of the master of senses, Krishna. So in this way, we find several examples in our scriptures where devotees engaged all their senses in Krishna's service. So engaging senses in Krishna's service, engaging mind in Krishna's service is bhakti, but we can begin with senses. Okay. So one thing is, if we actually don't come to the level of engaging one's mind in Krishna's service by doing so many activities, then it's not of not very much appreciated. But in the beginning stages, because we can't come to that level, okay, let's begin with engaging our senses in Krishna's service. Okay. So now you know Ambarish Maharaj has this series of shlokas. Savayam manaha Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. Means the shloka begins that we have to engage your mind in Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Savai manaha Krishna padaravindayor. Ambarish Maharaj has engaged his mind in thinking about the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he did not stop there. Savai manaha Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. He engaged his vacha, his tongue, or his ability to speak in describing the qualities of Krishna. Vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. Karau harer mandiram arjanadishu. He engaged his hands in cleaning the floors of Krishna's temple. Karau harer mandiram arjanadishu. Srutim chakarachyuta satkathodaya. Like there are a series of three shlokas are there. So he engaged all his senses in Krishna's service. Now there is this shloka again in Mukundamala Stotra. Chetas chintaya kirtaya swarasane namri bhavatvam shiro hasta vanjali samputam rachayatam vandasva dirgham vapu atman samshraya pundarika nayanam nagachalendra sthitam dhanyam punyatamam tadeva paramam daivam hi satsiddhaye. Chetas chintaya kirtaya swa. Chetas chintaya means with your mind, think of Krishna. Kirtayasva rasane, with your tongue, you start glorifying Krishna, singing about Krishna. Kirtayasva rasane. Namri bhavatvam shiro, means with your shira, head, bow down in front of Krishna. Hastav anjali samputam rachayatam, vandasva dirgham vapu. Hastav anjali samputam means with your two hands, you fold those two hands and offer dandavats, pranam, to Krishna. Then vandasva dirgham vapuhu, you stretch your body and you just fall flat, offer dandavats in front of Krishna. Right? Atman samshraya pundarika nayanam nagachalendra sthitam. So Nagachalendra Sthitam means Krishna or Vishnu, he lies on the bed of Ananta, right? So Atman Samshraya Pundarika Nayanam, just completely surrender yourself to that lotus-eyed Lord who lies down on the bed of Ananta.
Dhanyam Punyatamam Tadeva Paramam Daivam Hi Sat Siddhaye.
And this is how one attains the greatest fortune. Punyatamam, that's the greatest piety. This is not ordinary piety, it's spiritual piety.
Dhanyam Punyatamam Tadeva Paramam Daivam Hi Sat Siddhaye.
We can even attain that Daiva Krishna by engaging all the senses and mind in Krishna's service. Like that, our scriptures and Bhagavatam, they are repeatedly recommending that we engage our body, mind and senses in Krishna's service. Sometimes there will be hundreds of difficulties. So now Brahma offers this prayer in the 10th canto, 14th chapter. Brahma says that Tattenu kampam susamikshamanam bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvag vapur bhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayabhak. Means, he says there may be different difficulties, but a devotee has this understanding that whatever difficulties I am facing is only because of my own past misdeeds. And what am I supposed to do? Hridvak vapur bhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayabhak. With my mind, with my heart, with my senses, I should just engage in Krishna's service. So whether it is in difficulty or there is no difficulty, always engaging one's senses and mind in Krishna's service is the job profile, job description of a devotee. And a devotee does it very enthusiastically, not out of obligation. Of course, initially, in the initial stages, one may perform a regulative service in an obligatory manner because scriptures recommended it, because guru recommended it. So I will do. So that could be the impetus to perform devotional service in the beginning stages. But eventually, by doing that only, one can develop some spontaneous interest to render service to Krishna. So that is bhakti. So now of all the various processes of bhakti yoga, chanting the holy names of Krishna is one of the foremost processes, and that connects us to Krishna very quickly. Now, while doing so many services and while doing deity worship, and you are engaging in so many services for the pleasure of the deity, so all the aspects of service to deities is associated with some chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And when you are studying scriptures, it's filled with the descriptions of Krishna, Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, lila. So now chanting either holy names or pastimes of Krishna or glorifying Krishna constitutes the sum and substance of practice of bhakti and perfection of bhakti, right? So especially chanting the holy name is considered very effective way to connect with Krishna in this Kali Yuga especially. So Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Iva Kevalam Kalav Nastieva, 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 Vatir Anyatha. There is no other way, no other way, no other way except chanting the holy names of Krishna. Again, there is another beautiful shloka that glorifies Sri Krishna's holy name.
Chitruchedaika Mantram Sakalam Upanishadvakya Sampoja Mantram Samsarucheda Mantram Samuchitatamasaha Sanghaniriyada Mantram Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram Vyasana Bhujaga Sandashta Santrana Mantram Jihve Sri Krishna Mantram Japa Japa Satatam Janma Safalya Mantram Satruchedaika Mantram. This mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Sri Krishna Mantra, can completely destroy all the enemies. Satruchedaika Mantram means, who are the enemies? One may consider there are hundreds of enemies in this world. One human being may consider another human being to be an enemy. But these are all temporary and imaginary conceptions. But the real enemies of a soul are his own kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsara. One's own lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, they are the real enemies.
Shatrukchedaika mantram, by taking shelter of the holy name of Krishna, all these enemies are completely vanquished. Shatrukchedaika mantram. Sakala Mupanishadvakyasam Pooja mantram means this holy name of Krishna is worshipped. Sampooja means perfectly worshipped by all Upanishads. Means now you see Upanishads, Puranas, Sruti Shastras, Smriti Shastras, all of them are constantly glorifying Krishna, Krishna's names. So that's why Kulashekhar Alvar says there, Sakala Upanishad Vakya Sampujya Mantram. So all Upanishads are glorifying this holy name only. Are you getting a lot of disturbance here? I hope I am clear.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay. Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Sampujya Mantram. Next is Samsarochheda Mantram. Samsarochheda Mantram means samsara means one's absorption in this material. Cheda Mantram, by taking shelter of the holy names of Krishna, this samsara is completely vanquished. Samsarochheda Mantram. Samuchita tamasah sangha nirnyana mantram means this Sri Krishna mantra can completely vanquish our attachment to material existence and completely destroy the thick darkness and ignorance in our minds. Samuchita tamasah sangha nirnyana mantram. So ignorance will retire. So your ignorance will just be vanquished by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Samuchita tamasah sangha niryana mantram. Ji. And sarvaishwaryaika mantram means holy name can bestow all kinds of aishwaryas, all opulence, material and spiritual opulence. The real opulence is spiritual opulence of love for Krishna. So holy name can completely bestow all opulences. Sarvaishwaryaika mantram vyasana bhujaga sandashta santrana mantram. Vyasana bhujaga. Bhujaga means snakes. Vyasana means desires for sense enjoyment. All our desires for sense enjoyment are considered snakes. And chanting of the holy names of Krishna can completely vanquish all the snakes. You see, there is some snake charmer. He will put some mantra and then subdue the snakes and control the snakes. Similarly, the real charmer, snake charmer, of the snakes of sensual desires is Krishna mantra, right? So, jihve Sri Krishna mantram, japa japa satatam janma safalya mantram, jihve Sri Krishna mantram. Therefore, with your jihva, with your tongue, constantly do japa, japa japa satatam janma safalya mantram. So, constantly chant the holy names of Krishna, and that will completely destroy your material existence. So in this way, Kulashekhar Alvar is glorifying the holy name of Krishna. And Rupa Goswami also glorifies the holy name of Krishna. Rupa Goswami says that Tunde Tandavini. Tunde Tandavini Ratim Vitanute Tundavali Labdhaye Karna Karna Krodaka Dambini Ghatayate Karnar Bhute Hasprham Cheta Prangana Sangini Vijayate Sarvendriyanam Kritim. No jane janita ki yadbhiramrtai krishne tivarnadvayi tunde tandavini ratim vitanuti. Means, when the holy name of Krishna is chanting on my tongue, I deserve millions of tongues. And tundavali labdhai karna krodaka dambini ghatayate karnarbhute haspraham. When the holy name of Krishna is just entering my ear holes, I desire millions of ears. Cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim. When the holy name of Krishna is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, I feel that all my senses become inert. Mind is totally immersed in the vibration of Krishna's holy name and the senses become inert. Cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim. No jane janita ki yadbhiramrtaihi krishneti varnadvayi. I don't understand what great nectar and sweetness is embedded within these two syllables, Varanadvayi Krishna. So in this way, Rupa Goswami also glorifies. So basically, the process of chanting the holy names of Krishna is emphasized in all yugas and by all Vaishnava sampradayas. And that's the most effective way of engaging both mind and senses in Krishna service. Hand is counting, ear is hearing, tongue is chanting, and the mind is concentrating. So thus, chanting the holy names of Krishna gives us a very wonderful opportunity to increase our Krishna consciousness. Even other acharyas, Kulshekhar Alwar, again, coming to this Mukundamala Stotra only. So there is another shloka where Kulshekhar Alwar recommends that we have to chant the holy names of Krishna. The shloka is, He martya paramam hitam shrunitavo vakshyami sankshepatam samsararnava mapa durmi bahulam samyat pravishyasthitaham nana shastrama pasya cheta sinamo narayana yetyamum mantram sapranavam pranama sahitam pravarta yedham muhu. Hey Martya, paramam hitam shrunitavo. Oh Martya, oh human being who are destined to die. Martya means immortal being. Hey Martya, paramam hitam shrunitavo. I am going to give you a very beneficial advice. Paramam hitam shrunitavo. Hear attentively. Hear carefully. Vakshyami sankshepata. And I'm going to speak it in a very concise form. Just fitting your mind. I am going to concisely speak the essence of all scriptures. What is that? He says that Hey Martyaha Paramam Hitam Srunatavo Vakshyami Sankshepataha Samsararnava Mapa Durmi Bahulam Samyak Pravishyasthitaha. May I inform you your own situation? Your situation is very dangerous. He says Samsararnava Mapa Durmi Bahulam. We are immersed in this Samsara Aranava, in this ocean of Samsara. In this ocean, urmi bahulam, there are millions of waves. In an ocean, there are waves, right? So, samsararnavam apad urmi bahulam. What are those waves? Apada. So many distresses, difficulties. So, the difficulties in the material existence are compared with waves of the ocean, and the material existence itself is compared to the ocean. Samsararnavam apad urmi bahulam samyak pravishyasthitaha. And you have entered deep into this ocean. It not only has waves of miseries, this samsara sagara also has timingala fish, whales, big sharks of six anarthas and six senses. And we don't know swimming also. How can we be protected? We have to take shelter of the boat of the holy name of Krishna. Nana shastrama pasya cheta sinamo narayana yetyamum. Nana Shastra Mapasya, just give up all your attachment to all kinds of shastras and analysis. Nana Shastra Mapasya Chetasi Namo Narayana Yetyamum. Just chant Namo Narayana. Means he is also recommending holy name. So we may recommend Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and this Acharya is recommending Namo Narayana. So like that, Krishna, Govinda, Madhava, there is the process of chanting the holy name. Namo Narayana. Just chant. Kulshekhar verses. And Namo Narayanayatyam mantram sapranavam. Chant this Namo Narayana mantra sapranavam along with Om. It becomes Om Namo Narayana. So mantram sapranavam pranama sahitam, and also offer obeisances. Right? Pranama sahitam pravarta yedham muhu. In this way you constantly chant the process of chant the holy names of the Lord and follow this process. Then you can be relieved from the samsara. So this is in short, sankshepataha, vakshyami sankshepataha. So in this way, even Kulshekhar Alwar also recommends the holy name of Krishna. Rupa Goswami is recommending the holy names, chanting the holy names of Krishna. So Prabhupada says, of course, all acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas are saying. So actually, this holy name of Krishna has the potency. It's a twofold potency. One is relieving us from attachment to matter and developing one's attachment to spirit. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can be relieved from all the material inabilities and other qualities. Now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's constant recommendation
throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, whomever he preaches to, he chants the holy names. Now, Mahaprabhu went for South India Yatra. The main purpose of Mahaprabhu South India Yatra is to deliver all the people in South India by teaching them the process of chanting holy names. So, the first devotee whom he met in South India Yatra is Kurma Brahman. And after meeting Kurma Brahman, actually, so Kurma Brahman said, I want to give up this family life and I want to accompany you. Then Mahaprabhu said, Kaguna, you should never speak like that. You should just sit here and then chant the holy names of the Lord. Kaguna Badhibe Tumara Vishaya Tarange Punarapi Eithane Pabhi Morasange. Again, I will come and give you my association. Never say that I will give up my responsibilities here. You stay here and chant the holy names of Krishna and preach others how to chant. So he says that and then he departs. So knowing that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Kurma Kshetra and visited Kurma Brahman's house, another Brahmana named Vasudeva, he had leprosy. So this Vasudeva leper wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. So he comes all the way from his home to Kurma Brahman's house. By the time he reached, Mahaprabhu already left. So he felt so disappointed, so devastated. And he felt, oh, I'm so unfortunate. I could not have the darshan of the Lord. Then, knowing that his devotee, dear devotee, Vasudeva leper was lamenting like this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came running. He changed his way and he came back to the place where Kurma Brahman and Vasudeva leper were there, and he gave darshan to Vasudeva leper. And Vasudeva leper offered obeisances and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him and embraced Vasudeva leper. Now, Vasudeva leper, he had leprosy and his whole body was filled with some sores and boils that are oozing pus and blood. It's emanating such obnoxious smell, and even healthy people or even doctors also probably would hesitate to even come near him, approach him. But here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and embraced Vasudeva leper. So by the embrace of this Lord, one can understand that the Lord has extreme compassion on all his children. It is definitely parental affection towards his children. So anybody would hesitate to embrace a person who had leprosy. So how much is his leprosy? There are worms and some insects that are sucking the blood and pus of Vasudeva leper. And he was so humble that he will pick up a fallen insect and put again on his body so that at least insect can relish his body. He considers himself servant of the servant of even insects also. To that degree, Vasudeva leper is humble. And to reciprocate with such high grade of humility, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also shows high grade of compassion. So he comes and embraces Vasudeva leper. And Vasudeva leper becomes such beautiful, handsome man. All his leprosy is gone. He attained a very beautiful body. Then Vasudeva leper said, my dear Lord, thank you so much. You have showed such a extreme mercy upon me. But I'm very much afraid that I may become proud of receiving such intimate reciprocation from you. So please protect me from false pride. Now that I have got a handsome body and I got some special mercy from you, I could become proud. So please protect me from this false pride. Now you see, even when we receive some spiritual blessing or privilege also, there is a possibility of becoming proud, and a sincere devotee always takes care that he doesn't become proud. He prays that, let me not be deviated by pride. So in this way, Vasudeva leper prayed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very, very simple solution. Oh, you want to save yourself from pride, false pride? My simple recommendation is chant the holy names of Krishna. If you chant the holy names of Krishna, you will not be affected by pride. Because to effectively chant the holy names of Krishna, one needs to have four qualities. One should be humbler than blade of grass. One should be more tolerant than a tree. And one should respect everyone. One should not hanker for honor from others. When one has these four qualities, one can effectively, attentively, constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. So, the right mood to chant the holy names is humility.
And when we chant the holy names, we can develop that humility also. So it's cyclic, right? Chanting will increase humility, humility will increase chanting, like that. So Mahaprabhu gave the cure for pride is chanting the holy names. Because when you're chanting the holy names, the holy name has to be chanted with a mood of dependence on Krishna. Krishna, I am not the controller. I am taking your name 10 times, 100 times, 16 into 108 times in one round, 16 into 108 times in one day or more. So means you are repeatedly chanting the holy names, means you are expressing your dependence on Krishna and you are declaring that I am not the controller. I am not the boss. You are the boss. I am thinking myself to be controller, proprietor, enjoyer, master, creator, etc. But you are the real controller. You are the real proprietor. You are the real enjoyer. You are the real master and creator and maintainer and destroyer. You are everything. And by chanting your names repeatedly, by chanting the holy names repeatedly, we are actually acknowledging and accepting Krishna's masterhood on all of us. He is our master. We are not the masters. Master's name has to be chanted. Master should be approached. We have to depend on the master. So because by chanting the holy names in proper attitude, proper mood, we are accepting that Krishna is our master. So chanting the holy names of the Lord will relieve us from material pride, the material consciousness of being a controller, master. Basically, the reason why conditioned soul is in rotting in the material existence is a sense of controllership, a sense of imitating Krishna, right? I am the controller master, so that false ego is destroyed by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Whether we like it or not, whether we are attentive or not, we somehow manage to chant the holy names, at least when we have, because we have taken a vow. Because chanting the holy names of Krishna is a vow for all the initiated devotees in the sampradaya. So they chant the holy names. So by chanting the holy name repeatedly, 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 eventually by Krishna's grace, one will be able to realize, I am not the master. Krishna is the master. I am not the controller. Krishna is the controller. I am a subordinate. I am a servant. And he is the master. So chanting the holy names will connect us to Krishna, Krishna's grace, and also relieve us from Maya's clutches. So engaging the senses in Krishna's service, engaging the mind in Krishna's service is most effectively done by chanting the holy names of Krishna or chanting the glories of Krishna. So it's 5:51. So with these words, I will conclude. So these are a few thoughts on the last teaching, concluding teaching of Lord Rishabhadev. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association and such an excellent class and detailed description about how to engage our senses in Krishna's service with wonderful examples and how the pride is controlled by chanting the holy name attentively and properly. Thank you for such a beautiful class, Prabhuji. Do you have time for question and answers, Prabhuji?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Devotees, I would like to ask you, if anyone has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Go ahead.
Mataji, you can go.
Go ahead, Prabhu. Go ahead.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. The Lord Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. So, like, thank you for the such lectarian class. Like, I was also hearing your lecture on glories of holy name in Telugu. So like it was like really insightful for me. So like, and I was having this doubt, like sometimes, so even like we are not much qualified to preach, but sometimes we may preach to people about chanting and other things. So people may not take up, people might be ignorant, but how can we, like, sometimes we may also get that pride, right? Like, while preaching also, we might have that little tinge of pride. So how to take away like that little pride while preaching? If even though we are not qualified, but we try our best.
Yes. So basically that pride is there in all walks of life. So whether somebody is a neophyte or when someone is like
had spent quite some time in season, still the pride comes and affects. So we need to constantly remind ourselves the reality that we are not. Just give me 1 minute. There is a lot of sound there that's distracting me. I'll just tell the devotee to just give me 1 minute. Sorry. So, yeah, you were saying about pride. Definitely, we need to be very careful about this pride. So, in the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma also prayed, "My dear Lord, you please empower me to do this service to you, to do this service of creation, but also protect me from false pride." When we do some service effectively, there could be some false pride in us. So we need to pray for protection from the Lord, and we should also try our best to do some menial services, right? So now, for example, Pratapradhar Maharaj has done so many services in his capacity as a king. But Pratapradhar Maharaj, when he did that menial service, humble service of grooming the floor when Jagannath's deity is being brought out, so he just immediately caught the attention of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He received special mercy. So doing some menial services will definitely help. And of course, while grooming and mopping, also one could have pride. One could be proud of one's humility. So now, basically, we need to prepare our consciousness, and we should philosophically understand that we are what we are only by the grace of several Vaishnavas. We have come to this level, we are in this stage in devotional service only because of the charity given to us by several Vaishnavas. So without Guru's mercy, without Vaishnava's mercy, without Prabhupada's mercy, without Krishna's mercy, will I come to this stage? So Sudama Brahmana, he definitely received special grace from Krishna. So initially, Sudama was even having doubt whether I will be allowed inside the Dwarka kingdom or not, Dwarka palace or not. Initially, he was having that thought. But later, after he received such special reciprocation from Krishna, and when he was returning home, he was thinking, Kvaham daridraha papiyan, kvah Krishna shrinikyutane. I am a papi, I am a daridra, I am so low. But Krishna is so kind that he embraced me and he worshipped me and he even treated me like his elder brother. So Sudama was not taking it for granted that I deserve this treatment. Of course, Krishna is my friend. He was not thinking like that. He was humble. He was grateful. He was thinking that I am not qualified for it, but I got it. So there is no pride. So Sudama, basically, when we remember our previous fallen condition and our current situation, which is little better, will not make us proud. So we should always remember how fallen one was earlier. So with the efforts of so many people, so many Vaishnavas, I have come to this stage. So I should, if I am proud of my current stage, current stature or current status, that pride must be because of the mercy, causeless mercy that we have received from several Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord, right? So we can take positive pride in our acharyas. We can be positively proud in the glory of the parampara, glory of Krishna, glory of holy name, and glory of our Vaishnava sampradaya. But pride, which is directed to one's own personal self, one's own accomplishments, is actually foolishness. Because whatever we accomplish is with the sanction of Krishna. Without, and even Arjuna or Bhima or great personalities, they could accomplish anything only because of the grace of Krishna. Now Prabhupada says, if there is any credit in my translation work, that credit should go to my spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and my American disciples who helped me in various ways. So he immediately transferred credit. If we learn to transfer credit for our activities, our successful activities to Parampara, Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna, immediately, at heart or verbally, whatever is suitable in according to time, place, circumstances, then there is no pride. And if we remember how unqualified we are, for example, say I dress the deities. Say, tomorrow I dress Vrindavan Vihari. Somehow the dressing came up very well. And devotees are appreciating, oh, nice dressing, nice turban, nice decoration and all that. Now, if I just reflect a little bit, who has made the dress? So we have a deity dressing department. They have purchased all the materials for making the dress, and then several tailors came and stitched the dress for like quite long time. Sometimes a dress may take 1 or 2 months also to make. So half the credit went there on. And later, jewelry. Someone has manufactured the jewelry. Someone took the effort to go to the jewelry shop and purchase, select the jewelry amongst hundreds of options, and then purchase the jewelry. And garlands, Matajis have made the garlands. So now, like, maximum credit went in all these directions, right? The people who have made the dress, who have made the jewelry, who purchased the jewelry, who made all arrangements for the deity worship, and who made the garlands, and ultimately the guru who has installed the deities here, Prabhupada who has given the process of worshipping the deities to the sadhakas. So like that, just like I may be spending 1 or 1.5 hours in dressing the deity, but behind this quote-unquote accomplishment of dressing the deity effectively, there are hundreds of people involved. So if you just remember that, okay, my rendering so-and-so service is possible only by the contribution and assistance and support and inspiration and training given by hundreds of other people, then no credit left for me, right? Only fortune is left, not credit. Okay. So when we feel that we are we received some fortune, we become grateful. When we feel that we have accomplished something, we feel proud. So the sense of achievement and accomplishment is not there. The feeling of fortune and the reception of blessing is there. So then we can convert that pride into gratitude. So instead of taking pride in one's activities, one needs to learn to be grateful for one's activities in bhakti. So when we acknowledge the grace, then we can be grateful. Does it make sense, Prabhu? Some thoughts?
Yes, sure. Thank you. Like, I understood, like, we have to notice that insignificant contribution we are doing and we have that gratitude. And we have to know that we are not the doers. We are like instruments in the service. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Kadamba Priya Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, actually, I don't know my question, is it relevant or no? But recently, Prabhuji, I've seen somebody asked this question, like, we are doing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But Prabhu, there are like the Hindu temples or the Sanatan Dharam temples, they say, right? But they're chanting in the reverse order. So it's hard to, like, for us, we know like this mantra is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then, like, why are they chanting in the reverse order, and how to convince them that we are doing in the proper way?
It's okay, we need not convince also. So they are chanting the holy names of Krishna, we are chanting the holy names of Krishna. If one has certain attachment or sentiment to chant in a particular way, and if they are like too much attached to that, we may not disturb their sentiments. Just like we don't like to be disturbed in our sentiments, right? So that's fine. And let's not take it so seriously. At least I would prefer so. Anything else?
Anita Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Nandavat pranams. It was a very wonderful class with all details about the senses and the bhakti about Krishna, the mind to be engaged, everything in Krishna. So my question is, the one you were telling about the seven oceans of Lord Vishnu and four qualities for chanting. Can you repeat it again?
Oh, Ramanujacharya says seven. Krishna, he compares Krishna with seven oceans. Mai apara karunya. Karunya, saushilya, saundarya, madhurya, gambhirya, vatsalya, audarya. These are the seven oceans. And four qualities are humility, tolerance, respecting others, not expecting respect for oneself. That is Sranadapi Sunichana Shloka. Okay, Mathuji.
There's one more question, Prabhuji, from Kirtidasundari Mataji. Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for such an insightful class. Always look forward to your classes. Prabhu, I just have one small question. You were telling about that how in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that you have to progress, first engage your senses and then your intelligence. So you were referring to that Smaranatma Bhakti and next two I mixed. Can you please?
Smaranatmika Bhakti, next is Mananatmika Bhakti, engaging intelligence.
Okay.
Third could be Cheshta Rupa Bhakti. Cheshta Rupa means activities, engaging. Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti is the right, right word used there. Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti means practicing by engaging senses.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Can we end here?
Yeah, if devotees know, if they don't have any questions, we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class and nectarian. And we look forward for your association again in the future, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha krupa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Tranraj
Srimad-Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His grace Gauranga Darshan Prabhuji ki jai.
Prabhuji ki.
Thank you for the
Krishna. Thank you so much.